Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this lecture we will discuss comparative literature. Now first question is, how is comparative literature different from literature, ordinary literature? See, comparative literature focuses on the study of literature from different cultures, nations and genres and explores relationships between literature and other forms of cultural expression. And those scholars who work in the field of comparative literature studies are known as comparatists. So the difference between comparative literature and literature is that literature, when we study just literature, we focus mostly on critical analysis or devising a critique of literary works. Whereas in comparative literature, along with literary works, other forms of cultural expression are also studied, also critically analyzed. In modern times, Matthew Arnold was probably the first to coin the word comparative literature in English. And he also emphasized the need for comparative literary studies. And at a lecture which he delivered, Matthew Arnold said, I quote, "No single event, no single literature is adequately comprehended except in its relation to other events, to other literatures," unquote. So Matthew Arnold stresses the importance of comparative literature. The fundamental project of comparative literature is to cultivate reading across linguistic and social boundaries in order to highlight and include everything that the exclusive focus on a national literature tends to obscure. And of course, in the case of India, since India has not just one language but many languages, we can say that comparative literature in India would help us include different points of views of different regions in India. In different countries or in other countries, since one language is dominant, for them, yes, focus on literature of one language means that it is national literature. But in the case of India, if we say or talk about national literature, it would definitely mean not just literature in Hindi or Tamil or Marathi, but Odia literature, Rajasthani literature, all the different literatures that are there in India. And the aim of comparative literature is to explore the way literature connects with history, philosophy, politics, sociology, media, and literary theory, and generate new discourses with contemporary focus. So, comparative literature is transnational, transmedial, and transcultural. In other words, students of comparative literature trace the transformations and travels of literary genres and texts across time and space. They explore the connections of literature with history, philosophy, politics, and literary theory. And they study the intersections of literature with cultural forms such as film, drama, the visual arts, music and new media. For example, if you read Shakespeare's Hamlet, you can compare it with a Hindi Bollywood film called Heather, which is an adaptation of Hamlet. So comparative literature doesn't just limit itself to focusing on different literatures, but also different media, means comparing literature and drama or film or visual arts. Now that I have given a brief introduction about what exactly is comparative literature, let's consider comparative literature in the Indian context. Some more information on that. See, India is a multilingual and multicultural society, and the very framework, text and context of Indian literature have an inbuilt comparative system. There is a major distinction between comparative India literature and comparative Western literature. Now, one is comparative literature in a multilingual situation. The other, comparative literature in a diverse world of many languages. One is comparative as such and the other has to work out comparisons. Means that if we consider comparative literature in the Indian context, we already have so many languages that we can say that comparative literature is almost a part of Indian literature. Now, Shishir Kumar Das, Shishir K. Das, aptly pointed out that the ancient Indian writers could use more than one language within one text without any qualms or hesitation, and the ancient critics found that practice, normal enough, is itself an evidence of a view of literature that extends beyond one language. And one of the interesting evidences of such an interaction between two Indian languages is to be seen in the growth of a style known as Maniprawalam. Maniprawalam. Now, what is Maniprawalam? Basically, this was an attempt, and quite a successful one, towards creation of a hybrid style composed of Sanskrit and Malayalam. So, this is what Maniprawalam is, a hybrid of Sanskrit and Malayalam. And a good example of this is a 14th century text called Leela Tilakam. Leela Tilakam. and this was written in Sanskrit and deals with grammar and rhetorical devices of Manipravalam. And this is the first work in Indian criticism which analyzes a literary phenomenon which cannot be adequately understood without involving two languages and two literatures. And another often quoted example is of Charles Gover. Charles Gover's work called The Folk Songs of Southern India. Okay, The Folk Songs of Southern India, which came out in 1871. And this book is a study of several old literatures taken as a single corpus of poetry, providing a comparative critical framework. And as already stated, now since ancient times, India has consistently remained a land of bilingual, multilingual and multicultural traditions. And from the point of view of comparative literature, if we take the example of religious literature in India, in different parts of the country, we will see that there is a simultaneous and collateral growth of religious poetry in the regional languages spread all over India, or spread all over the country. For example, Baba Farid in Punjabi, Namdeo in Marathi, Lal Ded in Kashmiri, Kabir in Hindi, Mirabai in Rajasthani, Shankara Deva in Assamese, then Sant Tukaram in Marathi, then Vimana in Telugu, Thyagaraja in Kannada, Dayaram in Gujarati. And all these works, right, all these works make us believe how strong and deep-rooted and ancient are the ties of regional Indian literatures among themselves. And they have grown in close interaction and from a common root of imaginative resource. They provide a new dimension to the study of existing Indian language literatures and help discover their mutual historical and aesthetic interdependence and interrelations. So in short, these various regional religious literatures help us discover their mutual historical and aesthetic interdependence and interrelations. Now, after that, what are the approaches to comparative literature when we consider or take the example of Indian literature? Now, though it is difficult to frame a list of foolproof methodologies for comparative studies or comparative literature in Indian literature, a few approaches are very obvious, and these approaches include those that are tried or are being used for research in the area. Now, first is the methodology based on the proximity of two or three Indian language literatures. Okay, proximity of two or three Indian language literatures. Now, this approach envisages a multi-literary methodology for making a comparative study of Indian literature. And if we quote Amiya Dev, now in his work called How to Do Comparative Indian Literature, Amiya Dev says that all the 22 Indian languages or language literatures can't be approached simultaneously, for that would sound euphoristic or perhaps utopian. His suggestion is to work out a viable methodology depending on the proximity of two or three languages. Now, one can think of two or three language clusters, for example, Hindi and Bengali, then Bengali Assamese, then Bengali Odia, then Punjabi Hindi, then Tamil Malayalam. Other can be Bengali Hindi Odia, then Bengali Hindi Assamese, then Bengali Odia Assamese, then Punjabi Hindi Urdu, then Tamil Malayalam Kannada. And Amiya Dev explains that in addition to proximity of languages, one can think of proximity of communities belonging to distinct languages in certain areas for cluster formation. For example, if we consider the example of New Delhi, Now, there can be three language clusters such as Hindi, Punjabi, Urdu, then Hindi, Bengali, Odia, then Hindi, Bengali, Assamese, and so on, because these are the most obvious ones. Now, after that comes influence or impact studies. Now, what does impact studies or what does influence studies means? See, basically what it means is studying the influence of one author on another and reception study of one literary movement on another literature. For example, the influence of Eastern thought on Thoreau. And by Thoreau, I mean Henry David Thoreau, the American naturalist, essayist, poet and philosopher. That Henry David Thoreau. So what is the use of influence or impact studies? See, first of all, this trend helps us to identify a creative relationship that already exists. For instance, between Indo-English literature and the Indian literature in regional languages. And this corpus of literature can be studied from different aspects, such as influence, impact, reception, as well as from thematic similarities and differences, and as a part of two different historical traditions. For example, jaisa ki maine kaha that the influence of Eastern thought on Henry David Thoreau. This can be one way. Then another way can be comparing two or more authors and their literary works. For example, Rabindranath Tagore of India and T.S. Eliot of England. Now T.S. Eliot, of course, even Americans say that he was American. T.S. Eliot is also said, you know, by the English that he later on became English. So whatever, but T.S. Eliot is Western, or let's say English, and Rabindranath Tagore is Indian. So comparing the works of these two. After that, another way can be, you know, a thematic study of the Indo-English novel in comparison with fiction in an Indian language in the context of shared common cultural or historical experiences. For example, partition. So we can consider the theme of partition in a novel like Train to Pakistan. Train to Pakistan by Khushwant Singh. This is something which is written in English. Then we can compare this with the novel Inqilab, written by K.A. Abbas. Okay, K.A. Abbas, his novel was written in Urdu. Then we can consider another example, Bhisham Saini's novel Tamas. Okay, now Tamas basically is about the riots during partition, but this is written in Hindi. So one novel is written in English, then another in Hindi, then another in Urdu. So comparing all the three, written by three different authors. And the common thread that connects these three is that all these three novels are about partition and the experiences of partition, what happened during partition. So under influence or impact studies, all of these different approaches can be applied. Now after that, what are some new areas of comparative studies in Indian literature? Of course, we have discussed some, but there are some more as well. Now, one can be Indian mystical and philosophical tradition and the Anglo-American response to it. Now, one example can be the Upanishads, or the philosophy as described in the Upanishads of India, and the worldview of Emerson, Thoreau and Whitman of America. So what are the affinities between these two? Another example can be, you know, considering T.S. Eliot, who himself was a student of Sanskrit and Indian philosophy, and also incorporated some of the major thoughts of Upanishads in his, you know, the great work called The Wasteland. And he considered Bhagavad Gita as one of the greatest religious poems of the world. And it is quite clear that some of the basic philosophical doctrines of Bhagavad Gita contributed to the making of the world of his poetry, means the poetry of T.S. Eliot. So this can be a possible area of investigation. How Anglo-American writers responded to Indian philosophical thought. Then we can also find similarities between the thought of Wordsworth and Indian philosophy. And, you know, sometimes also between P.B. Shelley's thoughts and Vedanta of India. So this can be another field of inquiry in comparative literature or comparative studies. So just as I told you at the beginning that comparative literature need not be limited to comparing literature. It can also be extended to compare literature with philosophy, literature with performing arts or cinema, and literature with religious thoughts of a different tradition. So all of these can and do come under the rubric of comparative studies or comparative literature. Then after that, after philosophical thought, one more emerging area can be new literatures in English. Now, what do I mean by new literatures in English? See, basically what I refer to is the literature that has been written or produced in the last few decades. Because when Indian writers started writing in English, if you examine Indian writing in English, you'll see that at the beginning, the earlier writers tend to imitate themes and style of English writers, means British writers. Later on, however, as the mastery over English strengthened, Indian writers who wrote in English began to use this language called English in new and distinctive and creative ways. So that literature which came later on, not the literature at the beginning, you know, when Indian writers started writing in English, not that literature, but the later period literature. Let's say the literature that has been written in the last few decades. So what do we examine in this new literatures in English? Now, first of all, this new writings in English or new literatures in English includes the writings by Indian diaspora. Indian diaspora means those Indians who might have migrated to a different country but continue to write about India because they are so emotionally attached to their country of origin. Some of those people or writers who have migrated abroad, they write in English, but some of them still write in regional languages. For example, Gujarati, Punjabi, Hindi, Urdu, Tamil, despite the fact that those writers are at present living in United States or Great Britain or Australia, So comparing these two literatures, one which has been written in English, means in English language, and the other which has been written in regional languages, but by the same type of writers, means Indian diaspora, those people who are living abroad. And why do I say this? Because, you know, Indian diaspora, which is, let's say, living abroad, whenever they write, there are some themes which are similar. For example, you know, how to adjust in a new culture, new world, or new country, how much they miss their country of origin, means India. So these things are at least similar. So comparing literature written by these writers in these different languages, different Indian languages, so this can be an area of comparative studies. So in a country like India, which is multilingual and multicultural, comparative studies in Indian literature has enormous possibilities. There are a great number of themes, issues, which can become a subject of inquiry.